It's time for Nutty Debate.
No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
Hello, Mixed Nuts and Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and we are here today to discuss movies. Not just any movie, though. We're here to discuss Halloween movies, meaning what movies do you like to watch when Halloween comes around? What gets you in the mood? What is the perfect movie for Halloween? So today I have Thomas Button of the...
The Great North Pagan Podcast.
We're going to discuss our favorite movies. We had more interest in this topic, but it seems that not so many people showed up. If somebody shows up in the middle, we'll just add them. So, got any favorites you want to throw out there?
Well, I mean, other than the most common ones like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, those were, with so many sequels behind them, they were very common. I mean, I always remember going back to like the early Dracula films.
That's one of mine. The old Universal movies, the old Dracula, Bela Lugosi, and all of that. Yep. The Wolfman.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note, though, especially when, you know, a lot of people think of Alucard, they think that, well, Konami created that in the Castlevania games. No, that's not true. He eventually came from Return of Dracula, which I think was like the Son of Dracula from 1945, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that one classic scene where the guy goes up to the emblem of Alucard and goes, D-R-A-C, what were you doing? I'm just reading out something here, you know, kind of, because Alucard is Dracula spelled backwards.
Right, right. I've always been a big fan of the Bela Lugosi-style Dracula. Mm-hmm. Bela Lugosi is what made us think of vampires as sexy beings.
Yeah.
It's what turned them from monsters into something more relatable. I always give credit to that, although there have been so many different incarnations since then.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I think that people have forgotten how to make a vampire scary. Because at least Bella was sexy, but he was also scary at the same time.
Exactly.
You weren't thinking, okay, this guy's going to be my boyfriend. It was, this guy's going to suck my blood and kill me, but it's going to be one of the most erotic experiences ever.
It's like I'll end up admiring him for the rest of eternity.
I'm going to admire him for this hour, and then I'll be dead. I have to say that getting the old Universal movies, I'm a big fan of. One of the reasons why I really liked this, the Wolfman with Benicio del Toro and Anthony Hopkins that came out, what was it, last year?
I think so, yeah.
Was it felt like a return to the monster movie. It felt like a return to the classic Universal movies.
Because I've noticed that a lot of times with a lot of the horror movies that come out nowadays, it just seems like it's the same just concept. You know, you have like either one being or a group of beings that will just kill almost everybody save a couple.
Right.
And it's the same thing repeated over and over and over.
The formula slasher flick.
Yeah. Although I remember growing up in the 80s, it was a lot of the horror flicks back then. I remember then Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which, you know, at the first sight of that, you'd think that was like, it was like a comedic view of it, but it was a horror flick in its own self. You know, it was alien clowns. They were abducting people in these cocoons to drain them for their own sustenance.
Well, I also think that a lot of the movies that created the genre really need to get some credit, like the Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. One of the movies that I have on my list is the original Halloween. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth a watch for anyone. I'm not going to say that I'm going to watch it every single Halloween because it is a bit dated. It is a bit slow moving, but it is a classic for a reason.
Yes, it is.
It's something that I use as an inspiration for several of the characters that I will write having to do with horror. Mm-hmm. I have one character in particular that I write often, and I will explain to other people that while she may be all-powerful, she moves with the speed of Michael Myers, so it's very easy to get away from her. And when characters in this particular instance, that is a character for a role-playing game.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. So while, you know, it's a little bit of god moding and way too powerful of a character, and it's more of an NPC than a full PC character, you can get away from her. Just don't be stupid and try and fight her.
Well, given the character that Mike Myers was, that, you know, he, despite the fact of all the times he kept on getting killed, he kept on coming back.
That's right.
So he was, in a sense, God molding in his own right, in a sense.
Yes. And the thing is, he really wasn't all that powerful. He just kept getting back. You know,
yes.
he was just a man. He didn't have superpowers. Except for, you know, invulnerability, it seems. But again, that has become a trope of the genre.
Pretty much.
Yeah. One more thing that I want to say is I did not think that H2O was too bad, which is Halloween done in 2000. I thought it was a little cute. I really enjoyed Janet Leigh being in there, and I really enjoyed all the little references back to the original and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
One of the other things is I think at a Halloween party playing any Hitchcock movie.
Oh, gosh, it's gonna work.
Except for North by Northwest. Every other movie I think you'll be fine with.
Every time I see like a huge flock of birds, especially if one almost hits the car, it's almost like the birds right over again.
You know what amazes me is when you mention Hitchcock, how many people go to the birds?
Yeah.
And how many people have problems with birds thanks to Hitchcock's The Birds? I always find that really interesting because to me that was the least, not the least interesting. That would have been North by Northwest. I have a full-on hate for that movie. Sorry, guys. I just found that The Birds was so low in my ranking of Hitchcock movies. And it amazes me that, of course, my number one is Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
I studied Psycho in film study class. And it's one of the most amazing movies, I think. And it changed how we view movies. Because for those of you who don't know, who've been living under a rock, back in the day, people used to come into movies at any time. There was no previews. There were no trailers. There were no ads before the movie because people didn't come to a movie early. They would walk in the middle. They would leave in the middle. Movies were not meant to hold your attention for the full 2 hours that you were there.
Yeah.
And when the ad campaign started for Psycho, it was don't miss the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because if you miss the first 5 minutes of Psycho, you're completely lost.
Oh, gosh.
But because of that, and everyone would say, oh, yes, they're right. You have to see the first 5 minutes. It actually changed how people watch movies. Much like movies putting things after the credits now are starting to get people to stay through the credits.
Exactly. And what was interesting also was with the special effects of the time, because that classic shower scene, the shower scene when we see the blood going down the drain, what you might not know.
Hershey's syrup?
It's Hershey's syrup. Yes, that's right.
Because Hershey's syrup had the correct consistency for blood when mixing with water, and that any other fake blood, it wouldn't show up so well on film and it would dilute too much.
And especially being in black and white, you pretty much can get away with it.
Well, and because it was on black and white is one of the reasons why had they used some sort of a corn syrup in color, they can get away with that more. Whereas in black and white, it just didn't work.
Exactly.
They had to use things that were black in place of things for red quite often. For me, Hitchcock is a great staple. It's a great thing to go back to. As I said, I loved Psycho, but there's so many other movies that are higher ranking than The Birds for me. But most people, they will always go back to The Birds. And I think that's interesting.
And I guess the only reason I can think why people would refer to it like is maybe that fear that maybe nature would turn against us someday. I mean, it's never been predicted. It's always been written somewhere of that concept.
Oh, yeah, I can totally see that happening. I mean, and we're constantly encroaching on nature. I mean, how many people get upset when they, you know, bears start entering their backyard and it's like, well, you kind of moved into their space, but.
Or around here this time of the year where the deer always keep on running across the highway.
Exactly. Or over here, moose.
The moose.
All of you non-Canadians, you can laugh at us Canadians with the moose. Although you folks in Maine, New Hampshire, and those states, you'll understand.
Oh, no. In North Dakota, we've had the runs the blue moon moose sightings, too. So
you have blue moon moose? Wow, those are interesting. Are they on the endangered species list?
I think they are.
So what were we talking about? Oh, yes, man versus nature. Yes, and the truth of the matter is, whenever man is in a conflict against nature, nature will always win, eventually. You may have dominance over nature for a short while, but eventually, nature will always win out.
There was this one movie, I remember a group of friends of mine online, we watched, I can't remember the title of it, but it was about this whale hunter who kills this female whale that was also pregnant, and the male killer whale goes on this vengeance spree to kill the hunter down, literally burning off the whole city to do it in the process.
So, wait, so like a reverse Moby Dick?
Oh, pretty much. Or like, it would almost be like Free Willy the Revenge or something like that. I mean, I don't know if you really could classify it as a horror. Well, I know, like, and there's some movies that, you know, nowadays we'd almost just laugh at. But you probably, if you think about it, back at the time, it probably was a horror flick. I mean, one called Manos, the Hands of Fate.
The Vatican released an official statement today condemning the lax response by the FBI in relation to what it calls the most profane
God provides me canvas. I provide God art.
This weekend, attend the largest tattoo convention in Texas, the Houston Tattoo Expo at the George R. Brown Convention Center.
I need to be whole again.
An Amber Alert, the second this week, has been issued for the greater Houston area and suburbs. Brian Greeley,
Tony, 9-year-old at Hendricks Elementary. What is the ice cream man?
Fiends, Volume 1, the debut hardcover story collection from Parsec Award-nominated author Paul Ellard Cooley, is on sale now. Don't miss your chance to own one of the 250 signed, numbered, limited edition copies. For more information, please visit shadowpublications.com. We don't believe in happy endings.
My name is Kinsey, and let's see, well, I've worked on Between the Lines, and I have a podcast called Brazilianisms, and I've done some stuff in the past, and yeah, I guess that's it.
And you're an all-around cool guy.
Yeah, that too.
So we're discussing our favorite movies for Halloween that get us in the mood for Halloween, that we would play at Halloween Halloween parties or so forth. And so far we discussed some of the old Universal movies. We were just discussing some Hitchcock, and if you've got anything on the top of your list, please share.
Well, I guess my number one would be Donnie Darko.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. See, he's got something new to offer us. I knew we needed Kinsey.
Well, that's actually one of my all-time favorite movies, but it really does have a good creepy Halloween mood, and a lot takes place during a Halloween party in it, and there's a cool jack-o'-lantern with the face of the rabbit on it.
I've not seen the movie yet.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to.
Everyone clearly has to.
But don't see the director's cut. I really dislike the director's cut. You have to see the original.
Okay, I will do that. Now, isn't Donnie Darko something that was remade recently, or is that just wrong?
They came out with a really awful sequel.
Oh, okay. So just watch the original.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. One of the things that I wanted to mention is for Halloween parties, because people tend not to, you know, you'll have a movie on at a party, but people will only watch parts of it or be distracted or whatever. Two of my favorites are The Reanimator and Candyman. Now, I want to explain these two. One, The Reanimator is so slow moving that you need to have conversation in between the scenes to actually enjoy it. And the other one, The Candyman, I absolutely love simply because my friend Paula is completely scared by that movie, and I think it's hysterical. Do you guys have any movies that you like to just throw on at a party where you're only half watching it?
Well, the one I was mentioning beforehand, that Manos, the Hands of Fate. I mean, you know, nowadays it could be a little funny on the funny side, but it could set the mood of the darkness. Well, you know, there is no escape, there is no leave. If you could look beyond the guy that's in head of it that has a whole hand of a cloak.
And you were saying, Kinsey, the Friday the 13th movies?
No, just Friday the 13th Part 7. That's a fun, lighthearted Friday the 13th movie.
Always fun. I know for me to get in the mood of Halloween, there are a couple of things that are a bit traditional for me, which it might not come to people's mind right when they think of Halloween movies, but number one growing up was watching The Great Pumpkin.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Classic.
Absolute classic. And for those of you who haven't heard, I think it was in season one of Escape Pod, so, you know, what, 6 years ago? They did a story about The Great Pumpkin. It's well worth the listen to.
I always kept on thinking that Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas was the Great Pumpkin, because he says he is. So well, I keep on thinking, was he the one that Linus was hoping to show up?
Write a story about it. Write a story, get it published. That'd be a great mashup. Nightmare Before Christmas and The Great Pumpkin. I have to say that that's also on my list, is The Nightmare Before Christmas, even though I tend to watch it after Halloween is over. It's like a bridge between Halloween and Christmas,
since it does tie both holidays together. Yeah.
But The Great Pumpkin, like all the other Peanuts movies, well, all the original Peanuts movies, not the, you know, new weird ones, not written, not even closely connected. They kind of set the tone for your holidays.
There's also one of the Simpsons Halloween episodes, and all of the Simpsons Halloween episodes are good. But there's one that did a spoof of the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown episode, which I thought was excellent. Yeah. And The Great Pumpkin is very scary.
Yes, yes. And that was my next thing that I was going to mention, was the Treehouse of Horror, which I really think has become quite the tradition.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got some really good stories. My favorite, of course, was the first one where they ended off with
the Raven.
Lisa reading the Raven to Bart. And Bart finishes. He's like, you know what would have been scarier than nothing, Lisa? Anything. And then Homer's outside the window just absolutely frightened.
And it's something, because after, as the series continued, they made references to so many different horror flicks, even novels. Like, for example, the one where Homer fixes the toaster that becomes a time machine. Yeah. It was a reference to actually a novel where these hunters go back in time to the prehistoric era and they squish one.
Yeah, it's Bradbury.
Mosquito. Yeah, they scratch one mosquito and they alter history completely.
We talked about that in our time traveler debate. The Treehouse of Horror, I think, is definitely something that brings me into the spirit of Halloween. And I like how they mix all the classic references. They come up with some spooky things, but it's all comedy at the same time. Is there any other lighthearted things that you guys can think of?
Yes, House.
House? As in the television show?
No, as in the movie from the 80s.
House is in the movie.
House.
From
the 80s.
With William Cadd and George Wendt?
I have not seen this.
I not heard it either.
I don't know
it's
this.
It's excellent.
One.
You have to.
I'm looking it up on IMDb as we speak. George Wendt, that like Norm.
Norm George Wendt,
yes,
yeah.
Before he was in Cheers.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, really?
1986, yes. Is that right? Let's see. Yes, George Wendt. Here we go. House. Roger Cobb is a Vietnam vet whose career as a horror novelist has taken a turn for the worse when his son Jimmy mysteriously disappears while visiting his aunt's house. Roger's search for Jimmy destroys his marriage and his writing career. The sudden death of his aunt brings Roger back to the house where his nightmares began. The evil zombies in the house force Roger to endure a harrowing journey into his past. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, that makes it sound really serious, but actually it's hilarious
it
from
does.
Beginning to end.
It reminds
deliberately
me of
hilarious.
Misery because of the whole, you know, horror writer thing. but it's funny.
You'll love it, I guarantee.
Is it funny like I laugh at Candyman, but they meant to make it serious, or did they mean to make it funny?
No, you can tell that the producers meant to make it very funny.
Oh, okay. So I'll have to check that out. See, I'm getting a list of Halloween movies to watch now.
Well, after revisiting Mystery Science Theater 3000, I've been watching a lot of those old movies that were like back in the day, especially the ones where it was usually a mad scientist that was trying to create his own horrible creation. There was this one, I think it was, where he mutates himself into like a swamp creature and tries to find this woman to be his elegant mate.
Oh my. Yeah, they've got some pretty crazy ones on there. I just always find it funny when there is a bit of a crossover between horror and B-movie. And for a long time, all horror movies were B-movies. But it's become such a large money-making industry now that, I mean, you've got successes like the Saw movies, the Scream movies, and all of these other Kevin Williamson and Wes Craven type movies that, you know, people just flock to and spend tons of money on. By the way, the tagline for that movie House is "Ding dong, you're dead."
Oh.
And the poster is a ghoulish finger pressing the doorbell.
And that has nothing to do with the movie.
Oh, you mean like book covers often have nothing to do with the book?
Yeah.
Or video game covers have nothing to do with the video game?
Yeah. You know, just put sexy people on it and then people will buy it.
Yeah.
I think that we should definitely touch on a couple other classics like Stephen King movies. The Shining, Carrie, Misery, as I had said before. I mean, these are all some really great horror movies that I think also work with Halloween. It's weird because, for instance, Silence of the Lambs is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really scary, but I don't think of it as a Halloween type movie. But I do think that Stephen King fits into Halloween.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching the Tommyknockers where they were... When they were unearthing that alien structure and everyone starts going mad or seeing things.
Yep. Any that you can think of there, Kinsey?
I'm not a big fan of Stephen King. I actually like Carrie too, which I don't think was even done by him.
No, it wasn't. But you know what? It wasn't. I really did enjoy Carrie. I the first time I ever watched Carrie, I was babysitting. I mean, perfect time to get scared, right? In this big house that had these giant bay windows overlooking a canal. So it was all dark with lights being reflected in the water. And, you know, the kids were upstairs and I'm in this big empty house. And that was the very first time I ever watched it. And it was really good and I really enjoyed it. But when the hand comes out of the grave, oh my gosh, I screamed so loud I was afraid I woke the kids.
Oh gosh.
And you didn't know that was going
to
happen?
I didn't know it was going to happen. And the funny thing is, you see that in movies all the time. And that's the only time it ever really scared me. Because, and that I think is what created the trope. Correct me if I'm wrong, Nutcases. Mm-hmm. You can call in, you can write in, you can tell me all the ways that I'm wrong about this. But I believe that Carrie did start that. So for me, I really did enjoy Carrie. It's not something that I would rewatch a million times because it has that whole, it's long. It's the older movie style. I mean, I like The Shining, but oh my gosh, I can't watch The Shining. It goes on forever. And that's just the way that movies were made then, I guess. But Carrie 2, I did kind of enjoy. Once I got my head out of the fact that it had nothing to do with the first movie, I actually did kind of enjoy that.
Well, you know, speaking of, you know, setting the mood, there was one horror flick that did that very well. It was The Blob.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the 1950s version. What's interesting enough is that every year at the movie theater that were, because what was always so interesting, especially at the time when that movie came out, was especially that scene that where the blob is going into that movie theater. Because think of it, you're sitting in that movie theater and here it is, that creature's coming in the back of the movie theater. You're thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to get me.
Yeah, you know, that's a bit meta and that can definitely work. Thomas, you have a lot of older movie references.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to wonder, what is your take on them remaking The Thing?
I'm not so sure. I mean, it's like, especially when they're trying to do it as, I think if memory serves me correct, they're doing it as a prequel, I believe it is.
Oh, is that so? I don't know too much information, just that they're doing it.
Yeah, it's like a prequel to the original. And it's like my confidence in it is not all that high, especially when they tried to redo a remake of Friday the 13th and it was kind of horribly done.
Yeah, that's right. They did just do a Friday the 13th and they didn't use Robert Englund, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. They used a completely different. Yeah, they did a completely different guy of it altogether, and he's like,
Is that Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sorry. Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think that Robert Englund made that character. I'm sure somebody wrote the character, but sometimes an actor can really make a character. I heard Joss Whedon say on This American Life when I actually was there for the live recording, that for him, Buffy in comic books works because the character is Buffy, not Sarah Michelle Gellar. Whereas Firefly in comics, it's okay, but he wouldn't do a full season like he does with Buffy because to him, Malcolm Reynolds is Nathan Fillion. That Nathan made the character and Jewel State made the character, that all of the characters on Firefly, essentially he had written the characters, but they really made the characters and brought their the nuances to the character, and that you just couldn't, that wouldn't, doesn't translate to comic book form so well. And I have to agree, having read the comics, yeah. Oh, I love the Firefly comics, but I do feel a stronger Buffy sense when I'm reading season 8, as opposed to the comics having to do with Firefly.
Well, the same thing goes with the remakes they did with The Blob as well. I mean, it did have its own personal grandeur and all that, except for that one version where that poor kitten gets developed by the Blob. I hated seeing that poor thing. But what's interesting is that I can't remember where it's held at, but where the movie theater was in the movie, they actually, every year on the anniversary when the movie came out, they will have the container that had the original Blob in it.
Oh,
and they
wow.
have this whole festival, the whole thing. They show off the Blob and its container and all that. And so it has its own nostalgia in a sense to this very day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I as I said, I like the older movies and I especially enjoy having them, you know, embracing them for what they were. Sometimes remaking something, yeah, you can fix the graphics, but some things are better without fixing the graphics. For instance, the Alien movies are really scary when you don't see the alien.
Yeah.
You really don't need to make a really great special effect version of aliens showing us the alien.
It's, and that same thing goes with the remake of Friday the 13th, because in the original, it felt more authentic, but
are we
in the remake,
Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street?
Or Night.
Which guy?
Nightmare on Elm Street. The remake of Nightmare. I keep on doing that. I'm sorry. Nightmare on Elm Street. Sorry, but yeah, the effects seem more better because in the remake they try to put the computer animation in, but you can obviously tell it's computer animation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that scary feel to it.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen the newer versions. The only new version of one of those, I don't want to say classic, because when I say classic, I mean, you know, the old black and whites and the universals and so forth. The traditional slasher flicks, not horror, but slashers. The only one updated version that I've actually watched was, you know what? I lied. I watched two. One was, I liked H2O. I thought that was pretty fun. I also saw the Friday the 13th, the Jason movie with Jared Padalecki in it. And, you know, it was exactly what I thought it would be, which was not a very good story, lots of killing and so forth, and lots of TNA, including male TNA for us ladies. So that was pretty cool. They showed Jared Padalecki with his shirt off almost the entire movie, so that was nice. But hey, they had a naked girl doing, what was she doing? Water skiing and then getting killed. So, you know, it was even. It was equal opportunity TNA.
How did you feel about the crossovers, like the Freddy versus Jason, Alien versus Predator sort of movies?
I never watched Freddy versus Jason, but I did watch AVP2, and Tech is a huge fan of Predator and Alien movies. He saw AVP1 and didn't really like it, but AVP2 he absolutely loved, and I really enjoyed AVP2, I have to say. Kinsey, did you see any of those?
Yeah, I saw the first Alien versus Predator.
What'd you think?
It was pretty good. I don't know. I just sort of visualized a different backstory for the aliens rather than having been created by the Predator.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think it was that really that faithful to the roots of either of the two movies, but it was, I guess on its own, it was pretty good.
Yeah. I highly recommend watching AVP2. They kind of forget all about AVP1. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, and the Predators are just really, really awesome. They're really, really awesome in that movie.
All you just needed was Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, "Ah, get to the chopper." That would be perfect.
Yes, but Schwarzenegger could not be in it because he was a governator then.
Yeah, I know.
You know, as we're talking about these movies, all sorts of different horror and Halloween style genre movies just keep coming to my mind. You know, you've got all the Child's Play ones, which are classic.
In the sense
of a movie that didn't take itself too seriously. The first movie did, and by the way, it is a little creepy having a toy come to life, especially when that came out, because the My Buddy doll was on TV all the time. Like, they were just trying to sell that as... They wanted that to be the competitor to Teddy Ruxpin, and it also made Teddy Ruxpin kind of creepy. And so the Child's Play movies were the first one was pretty, you could see that being pretty scary. Although I have to say that every movie afterwards became more and more ridiculous, and they knew it.
Well, and what was interesting was in the sequel, I believe it was a sequel, it starts out with the corporation that created the doll saying, well, we got to better our image because this kid said the doll tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Which I sometimes wonder if that was a reference to the corporation that made the My Buddy dolls, thinking,
there was a lawsuit at one point.
Really?
Yeah, I think that there might have been I don't quote me on this, I might be very, very wrong, but I'm pretty sure that there was some sort of a lawsuit, but that the Child's Play movies had a leg to stand on because they had made the doll so different and they never actually referenced My Buddy.
I wouldn't be surprised considering the fact that the My Buddy, I mean, they tried to do the spit off of the kid sister and everything like that, but
it disappeared.
It disappeared off the face of the map, and I sometimes wonder if the movie had something.
In truth, though, I think it kind of would anyway. That was a creepy doll.
Yeah.
Right.
And not only that, but being the fact it was '80s, it was being shadowed under the Cabbage Patch Kid dolls that were the biggest.
Those were kind of creepy too. And if the Cabbage Patch started talking, I would have been running screaming.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sorry. I'm not into creepy dolls doing creepy things. I'm also the kind of person that I hate those E-Trade commercials because talking babies. No way. Don't like it. Get rid of them.
Well, I remember then, especially when they had the Bride of Chucky where he creates a female doll to transfer his girlfriend over.
That's one of my favorites.
Twitch the Mythbusters did sort of confirm that you could, electrocute someone in the bathtub. And then they just said recently, a couple of years ago, that Son of Chucky.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I liked the Bride of Chucky. That was completely out there, crazy kind of a thing. And if we're going to talk about some crazy, weird, out there stuff, I have to bring up the Leprechaun movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those are really bad. But, there's something to be said about the bad horror movies, especially bad horror movies that had a budget.
it always seemed like in those Leprechaun movies, especially, it was always the whole concept of the horror movie cliche. Yeah. You're trying to make your runaway. You get in your car. You try to start.
So can you guys think of any other like really bad horror movies that you have to mention?
I can name one. Poltergeist.
Poltergeist?
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of Poltergeist, which how could we not mention Poltergeist? But yeah. Poltergeist, I'm a little afraid of your DVD collection.
This was a suggestion after a friend of ours that did we were doing this bad movie night that suggested. I had never heard about it myself, but it kind of spoofs it, but it kind of spoofs it as a horror movie as well. But it basically centers around this KFC type of place that is built on a burial ground. And eventually what happens is when they get it started up and running after a couple of musical numbers, even that's in this movie.
Wow, musical numbers. Okay,
yeah.
Continue.
And then basically when the southern people start eating the chicken because it's all in this haunted stuff, they turn into zombie chickens.
Zombie chickens. Okay. Now, was this an intentionally bad movie? Like Idle Hands was intentionally bad?
Watching it, it felt like it was, but, because especially with the fact they had musical numbers in it, it had to feel like as if it was almost like a scary movie, that was supposed to be a spoof in a sense.
And that, by the way, reminds me of not a movie, but Thriller. How can we not mention Thriller?
Yeah.
Possibly the only undead musical number that I'm going, well, no, wait. Does any of the dead sing in Sweeney Todd? I can't remember.
Can't remember either.
But yes, Thriller, great movie with undead singing and
With not to mention that has the narration of Vincent Price.
Yes, Mr. Vincent Price. Which, you know, classic horror.
Ugh.
You put Vincent Price in something, and I'm going to watch it. What was it? Last Man on Earth, which is an earlier version of I Am Legend,
mm-hmm.
with Vincent Price. And talk about your slow-going movies. But it was Vincent Price on screen the entire time. I loved it.
Exactly, yeah.
It was such a thing for Vincent. You know, there's something about men in black and white film that I just love. Bela Lugosi, Vincent Price, Alfred Hitchcock, you name it. Before we wrap this up, is there any last call mentions, last things you just want to throw out there that we haven't mentioned before?
Well, we were about to mention about Poltergeist.
Yes, Wild Poltergeist. There we go. We mentioned it. Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Did that scare everybody? I don't know. I was never really scared of the creepy kid Caroline because she looked too much like my little sister and I already knew she was evil.
Yeah, let's see. There's a YouTube movie called Death of a Pumpkin, which tells the story of becoming a jack-o'-lantern through the eyes of the pumpkin.
Oh my God, that's horrible. That is horrible. I mean, think about the poor pumpkin. You're growing up, you're in a patch with a bunch of your friends. Then comes this little kid, and he's like, Mommy, Daddy, can we take this one home? And you're thinking, I'm going on to a better place. Next thing you know, they come at you with a knife, they start scooping your brains out, and then once they've dismembered you and left you disfigured, they stick a candle in your corpse and put you out on the porch until some kid comes and puts a boot through you or you rot away and become squirrel food. That's horrible.
Or some teenagers take you up and hit you in the ground to smash you.
Yeah, seriously.
That's how it ends.
Oh. I already know that this is a scary and a very sad movie. Anything else?
No.
That was great, though. I'm going to have to look that up. Death of a Pumpkin. Yeah. So I've got to look up Death of a Pumpkin. I've got to watch Donnie Darko, which has been on my list to watch in quite a while. And House. Yes.
And Poltergeist.
No, I really don't think I need to watch Poltergeist. You'll notice where I'm getting my film suggestions from. I'm getting them from Kinsey, not Thomas. Well, I'm going to take this moment to let you guys plug anything that you'd like to plug and say any last words. So we're going to start with Kinsey.
I'll just plug Brazilianisms. It's a podcast about Brazil.
And then I'm part of the Great North Pagan Podcast, which is a pagan podcast in the Fargo, North Dakota area. We talk about different events and people they're doing there. Like our second episode, we had a guest from the Northern the Dakota Paranormal.
Oh, cool.
And you can find us on paganspace.net/profile/Great North Pagan.
You need a smaller website address. You need to get a good website address and just have it redirect.
I know.
I'm sure if you Google Far North Pagan Podcast, you'll find them.
Great North Pagan Podcast, yeah.
Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, my nutcases and my mixed nuts. I appreciate you joining us for this debate. If you have movies that you'd like to talk about, please let me know on the forums. You can find the link at nimlast.org/blog, or let me know in the comments of this post. You can tweet me at Twitter, which is at NukeChoss. Yeah, the spelling. Look it up. You'll find it. or you can call in 347-NUTTY-42. Let us know about your favorite Halloween movies. What did we miss and what did we get wrong? Because I know we got lots of stuff wrong. Thank you.
We're not perfect.
No. Nobody's perfect.
What happens when science on the frontier collides with supernatural potential? What happens when cryptozoology meets genetic engineering? What happens when curiosity and an open mind meet fundamental and often deeply disturbing philosophical questions? What happens when ghost hunters intersect with the most bizarre behavior humanity voluntarily performs? You get a podcast.
The Weird Show, a podcast not nearly as serious as this promo. TheWeirdShow.com. Subscribe and see your world differently.
Might be a quick one. All right. Hello, mixed nuts. Excuse me. See, I'm already screwing up. Hello, mixed nuts and... Stop laughing at me. Stop it.
Sorry.
What movies do you like to listen to? I get to do a lot of editing to this podcast. Yay!
Live, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm gonna add Kinsey in real quick.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello? Hello.
Okay, I'm here.
Yay! Random Skype invites, eh? Excuse me. I definitely have, I have no idea what I was just saying. I'll have to edit that part out. Sorry. ADD strikes again.
Oh, and I wanted to ask you, what's the name of your podcast?
It's Nutty Bites.
Nutty Bites. Okay. Yes.
And you can find that at nimlas.org/blog, or just go to nimlas.org and hit the button that says podcast. NIMLAS. It's easy to remember.
Okay, I'll
it means
do that.
Nuke Joss is my lord and savior.
The music you've heard was provided by The Free Sound Project, Gerard Adam Piano Detuned, that can be found at The Free Sound Project. Please check the show notes for links. And Undead Love Song by Gianinello. Again, please check the show notes for a link to his website, gianinello.com.
A supernatural wedding day. A blushing bride, a groom in a cape. She could have had any man she desired, like a teen werewolf or an old vampire. But she loves her zombie man. She loves her zombie man. Zombie man. This is an undead love song. Everyone will think it's wrong. They just don't understand those zombie moms.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.
But she loves her zombie man. She loves her zombie man. Her zombie man. This is an undead love song. Everyone will think it's wrong. They just don't understand those zombie moms. Lovers need not be alive. For true love to survive, a fragile heart need not rot. Always under attack. People ask her, why can't she find another? Why is she? love song. Everyone will think it's wrong. They just don't understand those zombie moans. Lovers need not be alive for true love to survive. A fragile heart need not rise.